Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's show. Tonight's date is Monday, September 11th, and my name is Haleem, the Dream Builder, the Doctor of Self-Esteem. I am your host, the Master Inspirational Success Teacher. Now, we are given this opportunity by our sponsor, who I would mention as being Reality Books, publisher of the modern classic Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. This is certainly a book that everyone should get. It talks about very important historical things that people said that helped freedom get a direction for African American people. And today, this certainly is a need. You'll see as the community starts to dissipate from the lack of support from the outside people who think they're more privileged than folks we call of color. But nevertheless, here, we're here to make some discussion here and introduce this new show that's here that we have been blessed to be able to broadcast Monday and Wednesday. And Monday and Wednesday, we're going to have a window time of 2 hours, and we certainly will have activities to engage you, and the activities will include book reading club. It will include report on very incentive reports writing. So we'll ask you, those of us who will be participating, submit a report on some of the things you've heard, some of the speakers that speak, and some of the other matters that come up, and we will provide some incentive for you. As a modern-day achiever. So you have to learn to use your pen, because a pen is mightier than a sword. And I think today you have to say the pen is mightier than the computer, because the computer, too much use will make you dumb. If you understand the thumb-dumb syndrome, where all you do is walk around all day and twiddle your thumbs and type in all these messages, pretty soon your brain is stuck on stupid, you know? But you have to understand the brain is very complicated. So you have to do things to help it enhance its ability. But if you do things that limit it, you will become almost like retarded a bit. So we want to keep you writing with pen and paper in addition to using computer. But don't let computer be your main primary source. Ever do that. We'll also include career awareness lectures to help you get a direction on the pathway to your future. It's very important that you understand that you have to take responsibility for your career pathway, and you have to do things where other people will be having fun and you have to be studying and doing other things to make your dream happen. We'll also have, as I mentioned, VIP business speakers, because we want to help you understand how to build wealth in your family, in your own individual, amongst your peers, right? So we'll have VIP business speakers. And this one here is something I really, really love. We're going to use music as a journey through history, freedom, justice, and equality, because music has been a barometer, the measurement point that helped African-American people really strive to embody the words of the different songs that were freedom songs like Marvin Gaye's song, What's Going On, right? It's talking about pay attention to the times. We have other songs that include Michael Jackson, The Man or the Mind in the Mirror. We will be playing some Stevie Wonder. We'll be discussing. We're not just playing it to hear it. We're going to be discussing the lyrics to understand what they're saying so we can have a better picture in terms of how we can focus ourselves. And so that will be a combination of matters. And so I want to say that this, I should have said this earlier, my sponsor of the Reality Books is the great-grandson of the Honorable Booker T. Washington, is the president of that company. And he is one that I would really like you to hear him one day on our show. He is very he gives history a whole other twist. He makes it come alive. I mean, I used to be bored in history, but after he speaks, it's like, wow, I feel like I know history now. So we're going to help you with history as well. That's very critical. Now, okay, so anyway, I want to kind of cover some things here. This is what we're going to do today. Radio, you can call in, no problem. And you'll be able to talk to me directly. And I'll be doing a monologue primarily as an introduction. But this show will expand. And we will be having young people interviewed, and they will, you know, share what they know in life and what their goals are, so we can assist them with better decision making. So there's a combination of things that we'll use. Let me just give you some examples of books that we'll be reading. Okay, so for example, there's a book by, as I mentioned, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution will be one book, our primary book. The book has so much information. I really know it's better than the book Think and Grow Rich, which I really love, Think and Grow Rich book. But the Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution really talks to me, and it will talk to you in a special way to give you perspective of the time that black people were transitioning from slavery in the mindset, all right, and figuring out how to start to do for ourselves so we can feed ourselves, so we can build wealth in our community, so we can get educated to be able to take care of our wealth, take care of our families, et cetera. And you'll find the book offers a lot of different information that will give you insight, right? So another book would be A Saturday School Book. Now, this book was written by a friend of mine in East Palo Alto, California, named Joseph Prince. He and I grew up together, and he was on an Olympian quest to run the 220, the 200 meters now, and the 400 meters. And he actually got cancer, a lymph node cancer underneath his arm, and he went from like 200 pounds down to about 100 and maybe 40 pounds, like, and he was totally, you know, like on a dying, well, it looked like he was going to die, but God bless him, and he was able to get his health back, and he was able to go out and run, not the Olympics, but he still competed in the regionals and so forth. But he's an extraordinary human being that also had a learning disability, and where this title of the book called Saturday School is reflecting his experience in the local community, no Saturday school. And so with his learning disability, that Saturday school that was opened by the Mothers for Equal Education provided him with the platform to make learning really fun. And he learned to read. He learned to write. Before that, he had a problem focusing. So that's a book that will be certainly engaging. and we'll interview him as well. There's another gentleman here. He's a gentleman that's name is Hafid El Amin. Hafid El Amin, and he is actually a 12th grade graduate. But when I spoke to him, he has PhD all over him, as he's talking about the cosmic universe dynamics, the dynamics of the cosmic universe. And he kind of talks about a lot of the dark matter, light matter. He ties it into some spiritual insight to the Bible, the Quran, et cetera. And when he when we interview him and you hear him speak, he will definitely show you that, you know, at 12th grade, he probably has more brains than a lot of the scientists that go to college for a lifetime. But at some point, you got to apply it, and you have to be blessed to have the insight. Now, another book we're certainly going to read, two of them. One is called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, an author that wrote this book in the 30s. And it's a very important book. I'll explain further, but before I go there, I want to say we have another book that's called Think and Grow Richer, Black Choice. And that Black Choice was written by Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, professor at Clark State University over the economics department, and he will be speaking as well. And we definitely want to, you know, kind of will add other people in here as we start to grow. Now, I mentioned Napoleon Hill, and I want to kind of elaborate a little bit here. Napoleon Hill, that was one of my Hispanic brothers in a little ghettoology behavior. Couldn't hit this music so loud, you know, but in any event, he's having fun. So carry on. Napoleon Hill, he wrote this book and called Think and Grow Rich. And after he wrote it, he actually had a epiphany that there was a need to help black people in the idea of learning how to build wealth. Now, in the 30s, it was really difficult for a lot of black people in terms of how to manage money and how to, you know, earn some money and so forth. So he was sincere, started a book, and he only finished 100 pages before he passed. And so his business partner, Clement Stone, found it, and then they eventually, through his foundation, they did a national search to find somebody from the African-American community to write the book in its completion. And we had Dennis Kimbrough was selected, and he wrote the book. And I asked him a question after he wrote it, and this was just as recently. We had a conversation about a week ago, and he says that, yes, he wrote the book. It was Napoleon's book, and he was really proud of the effort. Now, I know that Napoleon's whole intention was to help black people learn how to make millions of dollars, right? Because the book has made a lot of people rich in this, in the business world here in America and around the world. So that book is about like a Bible. People really, really follow it closely. And they try to make effort to follow the principles in it. And we'll be reading that book in more detail, but I'm just giving you a summary of things right now. In that book, there's a very, very important chapter, which is the chapter is called Persistence. Persistence. Now, as part of what we're going to do here with Live Success Reality is that we're going to be addressing various questions to ask you questions on the radio or on the phone or text messaging, et cetera, so we can help have a conversation back and forth on matters, because it's important that you understand that success is a journey, and it's not a short journey. Many people think success is a quick journey. It may take you years before you get there, right? But when you get there, you'll have an idea when you reach there. You'll have an idea. And I just kind of share with you a personal experience with me on that. I know I got really started after I got out of high school in 1975. I ended up playing professional baseball after being drafted by the Minnesota Twins. And I had the really strong inclination to be successful in the game that I've played ever since I was a kid, 5, 6 years old. And the team I went to, they just didn't care for having, black people, at least my color, at least. I'm brown skinned, but the point is this: there was unfortunately a discrimination, and so when I got the next season, when it was over, I said, "Well, God, I'm going to go out here and help these young people from the community to learn. Just don't put so much emphasis on sports, because the problem we put so much emphasis on sports that we end up missing our academics." And then that's not good, because that means that we make money in sports, we won't know how to invest our money. We won't know how to know when people are trying to cheat us, because you have a lot of agents out there, especially if you are African-American, and they have a system where a lot of times a lot of the black agents that would be potential managers of you are excluded from participating. It's just the way it is. You have to accept the way it is. But we can change it, though. You know, you just got to be firm on what you want. So don't let anybody push you around. If you know what you want, go for it and tell people what you want. Don't be afraid. So the point is, okay, so from 75, I got started on my journey, and it's a long, long story, so I won't go into no detail now. But right now, it took me like 43 years up until this year, 2017, and the last year has been the most extraordinary part of my life. Because I was able to go through some things that many people don't experience. And I only recommend this if you got a real strong, a constitution, and you have a strong faith in God. Because if you go through things like I had went through, such as being homeless or on vacation, as I like to say, it's going to be really challenging. Because being homeless is not a joke, but it happens to people. And it's nothing that people try to do. It just happens because sometimes people forget, and we just kind of take things for granted, like the people in our family that we want to love and protect. We become overwhelmed sometimes, or we just kind of like, in my case, I kind of lost my faith a little bit. And so for me, I had to go back and find my faith. And I guess if I could use an example, I would say the example of Peter Pan. You remember Peter Pan when Robin Williams played Peter Pan? And he was actually, when he was happy, wow, he could make magic happen. With all the little kids that were eating at the dinner table, he could make the invisible no food into visible food where people can really eat. He lost his smile. And when he lost his smile, all his magic disappeared. All his happiness disappeared. And he looked really old. He came to look real old. Now, that's real serious. Because, listen, I'm 62. I look 40. And I feel 25. Okay, so when I went through my being on transition, I lost my smile. I became so depressed. I even thought about taking my life, which is not a good thing for me or anybody. But when I got to San Francisco and I realized that, hey, you're not as crazy as you think you are. If you want to see some crazy people, go to San Francisco. You'll see some real crazy people. I'm telling you, when I saw that, I said, oh, no, I'm not going to go out there and kill myself. But it was at that point, it was too late for me to go back home right now. Being at that point, so I just kind of stayed in isolation for 4 years in San Francisco, and that journey was a very, very testy journey, and that's just a part of the story. I won't go into any more detail on that one, but anything that I want to say, that you have to figure out how to get yourself into that zone. You know, you guys play sports, or you guys maybe go to a party and you're doing a dance, and you got to get into that zone to really do that dance. You know. And so if you know how to get in the zone when you do a dance, and you know how to get in the zone when you're playing sports, you got to know how to get into the zone when you're having success. The same thing, get into that zone. And I call it the success zone. So that journey in the success zone is like a race. And it's not the race to the swift of feet. It's like the race with the tortoise, the hare and the tortoise, and the you know the story, the tortoise actually won the race. And that don't make sense. How a tortoise going to beat a rabbit? Okay. Wow. Okay, here's what happened. The rabbit keep getting tired. The rabbit keep, not working as hard as he could. The rabbit or she working harder than he or she could. And the rabbit just kind of say, oh, the tortoise thing, because it's not going to do nothing. I can win this thing hands down, right? But that tortoise just keeps on crawling one step at a time. And very, very, what you might say, sure-footed. Eventually, that tortoise beats the hare because the hare took for granted all the talent it had and just wasted it just hanging out and doing nothing. So you got to realize you might be a like a rabbit with a lot of talent, but if you don't have the discipline to follow your dreams and vision, you're going to lose a race. So it's not the fast. It's those who are persistent, those who are consistent. Now, I mentioned the word persistence. That's something that you have to really understand. That's critical because I believe that persistence is God's key to the universe. Persistence is God's key to the universe. So that level of persistence, it will change a whole lot of things for you. I'll tell you what, let me give you some example. Okay, say you find a girlfriend at school you like, and you just say hi one day, and the next day you see her, you're kind of shy, you don't say nothing. Next day you don't say nothing, the next few days. And pretty soon somebody else got your girl that you like, but you didn't be persistent in pursuing her as a friend, not a girlfriend, as a friend. So persistence is that you have to be really serious about reaching your goal, no matter what it is. If it's getting a grade in school, you got to be persistent. If it's finding that beautiful lady for the future of your life, you got to be persistent, right? Now, it's in the Napoleon Hill book that word persistence. And this is in chapter 8, and it says that persistence is best modeled. The best example of persistence was the prophet, and he said the last prophet, Muhammad. Now, this is Napoleon Hill, a Christian brother who says this about a Muslim. Prophet Muhammad was the greatest example of persistence. And matter of factly, right now you'll find Prophet Muhammad noted as one of the top number one influential person in history, Prophet Muhammad, right? So in the book of Think and Grow Rich, I would definitely look at that chapter, Persistence, and I would follow that closely in the instructions, what it says. It said, Napoleon said, well, if you really want to know a good example of persistence, you should read the Quran. And the Quran is the holy book or the Bible that Muslims read, like Muhammad Ali and, people that you might know publicly, Malcolm X, Malik al-Hashabah, that's his name. But the point is this, you don't want to be afraid of something that you maybe never heard a lot about. As a young person, you always want to be exploratory, right? So you should ask questions. Well, what is this thing called the Quran? Oh, what is this thing called the Prophet? Oh, what is this thing called humanity? Oh, what is this thing called racism? You understand? So you got to start asking questions about everything. Because as a young child, your key to the universe is the questions you ask. Now, I'm going to give you an example on that one. Okay, there is a history of a scientist named Dr. George Washington Carver. And he was one that was known as the Wizard of, not the Wizard of Oz, but the Wizard of Tuskegee. And he was known as the Father of Chemistry. And chemistry is C-H-E-M-U-R-G-Y. And what he did, he asked a question to Mr. Creator. He didn't call God Jesus or anything like that. He called him, Dear Mr. Creator. That was Dr. Carver's words. He would say that all the time. Dear Mr. Creator, would you please tell me what this peanut is for? And then he would get answers. And this is what he said. his experience and how God talked to him, and he'll talk to you too. God will talk to you too. You just got to be open for it and listen close. So he said that God told him, "Hey, you're asking a question that's too big, little man." Because they asked a question about why you make this little peanut, God. God said, "Well, that question is a big question now, but you're asking it, and you're too small to understand it, so you better let us hold off on that question." And then he said, "Well, reframe that question and ask it again." Because he was asking, like, what could the peanut be used for? All this kind of stuff, you know, as an inquisitive mind. And so this God told him, when Dr. Carver says, "Well, what is the use that we can make to the peanut?" And God said, "Okay, that's a good question, and let me show you." And the rest is history. Dr. Carver did so much with the peanut, so much with agriculture, so much with helping the black and white farmers in the time in the 30s learn how to work and live together, right? Because people, you know, sometimes when they don't have enough food, they fight over who's going to bring their food to the mills to sell the mills to the production companies, who then will produce into food product, and then they'll get paid money. They can go to their family and say, "Hey, we got money to eat. Let's ourselves, family." And so the black and white farmers would always get into conflicts because of people. Now, I'm going to talk to you really straight, so just bear with me, okay? All right, here goes. White people felt that they was more important than black people, and so they would tell the black people, you stand on the side with your food, and you wait till we sell our food, and then if there's some money left, you go get your money. But right now, we're here first." Even though they came last, they said, "We're first," and they pushed black people aside. So that became the conflict. And so Dr. Carver saw that conflict by what he introduced as a way to increase the soil's productivity, because unfortunately, during slavery times, the cotton was overgrown in the soils of Alabama, and it depleted the soils of all of the nutrients. So therefore, it was infertile soil, right? It didn't actually yield the kind of nutrient that would make plants strong. So Dr. Carver, using his mind as a scientist, he was able to look into what would be a solution, and he offered bringing to the clay, the dirt clays of Alabama, this thing called crop rotation. And he also introduced these soybeans and other legumes, they say, legumes, which is like lentil beans and other kind of soybeans, et cetera, that were really high in nitrogen that actually caused the soil to come alive again. And so when the soil came alive, it became potent that it actually grew the plants so strong, and people were able to say, "Wow, look at all these plants. Now we got so many big yields. And so let me just say this here before I go to another topic here. Dr. Carver was so important to America that he was so excited what he discovered with the peanut. He went to the United States Congress Ways and Means Committee. And he went there with his box of products that he had developed from the peanut and some other things, soybean and sweet potato, stuff like that. And so they said, "Okay, Dr. Carver, you only have 15 minutes because we're really busy, so we don't really want to waste time with you, but we'll listen to you what you got to say." And so Dr. Carver started pulling out all his stuff that he was developing from the peanut, such as soda pop from the peanut, such as candy from the peanut, such as mock chicken. He made like some veggie chicken out of peanut, right? He made cheese milk out of peanut. He made so much stuff out of peanuts the commission said, hey, hold on, guys. Let's get this man the whole floor. And they opened the floor for him as long as he wanted. And then as a result, they end up taking a lot of his ideas and they made a lot of industries and made America really rich, but they forgot to give him and they forgot to give money to the University of Tuskegee where Dr. Carver was doing all of his work from. So that's something that we have to correct. People can't be using up people's creative intelligence and then taking advantage of it like they're still in a slavery condition. That's why you young people, we're going to show you how to go in business so you'll have what you call intellectual property rights, where you have intellectual proprietary protections over your ideas. And so this is what I do. I'll assist you in this whole process. And so I want to invite you to also, every Saturday we have a group meeting on the phone. It's a conference call. You call in, and it's actually it's a training call. It's a recruitment information call. It's a membership associate peer-to-peer discussion around how to take ideas and create what is some type of social activity that will help the community. And, of course, young people, they sit down and they actually discuss it amongst themselves as mature, business-minded people. And they don't argue. They use this thing called the Robert Rules of Order to have what is called civilized discussion and a proper, etiquette or proper words when you say, excuse me, Madam Chair or Mr. Chair, may I have a question for the gentleman or the lady over here? And they said, okay, well, go over to your question. And then, of course, the person asks a question and there's a conversation. There's never an argument. It's only always a conversation in a civil matter, civil, C-I-V-I-L, manner. And so the idea for many young people today is that we're going to help you to deal with your anger issues. Because a lot of young people got really a strong anger issue. They cuss you out on the drop of a hat. They'll call you names just because you look at them. So listen, if you really want to be successful, you got to change your attitude. You got to change your disposition. You got to start acting like you got some sense. You got to pull your pants up on your butt. You can't be walking around with your dress, all up your legs and showing everything that God gave you. You got to have some modesty. And people then wouldn't mind being around you. But if you come in to anywhere and you got everything hanging out, people say, what's wrong with this person? Are they on the X-rated show or something? So we're going to show you how to dress for success. We're going to show you how to walk with success. We're going to show you how to talk with success. We're going to give you confidence as you say, I never thought I could be so confident. But listen to me. You hang out with the modern-day achievers, and you will be a believer in yourself. The modern-day achievers, keep that in mind, the modern-day achievers. Now, we have some great friends that are assisting us, and one of our great friends is the great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, whom I call a professor, and he is really extraordinary, and one day you'll get a chance to hear him on the radio here, phone, and he actually he will share with you some things that really open up your mind and make you have a sense of humor, too, because you cannot be in business and just be, with no sense of humor. You got to have some kind of sense of humor. Smile sometime. Otherwise, we'll think that you are an alien. Now I'm going to say this one because aliens, they don't smile. They just look mean all the time. And I figured out why they look mean. They look mean because they just so, I was going to say that word stupid, but no. Excuse me. They look so mean because they don't have the intelligence to smile. See, because if you got intelligence, you could smile and still be serious. Now, I know this for a fact. Muhammad Ali used to smile and whoop plenty of butt. He'd smile at you and whoop your head in like three or four punches. So you only got to look, you do not have to look mean just to be tough. You can look real soft and easy and whoop some butt, right? So what I'm talking about, I'm not talking physical, I'm talking about intellectual. Because today, people are not fighting with what you might say, words now. They're fighting with guns, but you got to be smart enough where you can use words to disarm them. I'm going to say that again. People today are ready to shoot you at the drop of a hat, but you have to be smart enough to know how to use words to change their position of thinking, like by shooting you, and show them how to have an intelligent conversation so we can come to an understanding and stop this black-on-black crime. Hello? That's like, yes, that's like amen, all right? So black-on-black crime, brown-on-brown crime is a crime that is unfortunately pretty much isolated to impoverished communities all across this country. And I really believe that you young people have the answers that a lot of the old people, and I'm saying old in terms of those who don't smile, because I'm 62, I'll be 63 December this year, and I still smile, and I feel like a little kid on purpose, right? Because if you smile, that means that the world smiles with you, and if you frown, you frown alone. Now, who wants to frown alone? That's crazy. That means you must be sulking. So you have to smile, and the world will smile with you. Remember that one. And if you cry or you frown, you cry and you frown alone. Now, I'm going to share with you something here, something that I'm a writer, and that's my gift from God. You got to figure out what your gift from God is. You might have different gifts, and we all do. But when we discover our gifts, we have to use it to do our job. Now, I'm talking about a job like Job, right? Now, Job had a job to do, and that's to take care of his family, right? And you have a job to do. That's to take care of your family, your community, and society for those that you love. So what I'm saying here, so these are things that Haleem, the dream builder to self-esteem, master inspirational success teacher, who is world's greatest inspirational success teacher since Napoleon Hill, author of Think and Grow Rich. Now, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Trust me. I know exactly what I said. I know exactly how I have the power of words to change my disposition. You have the same power, too. You just got to believe in you. You got to look in the mirror. You got to tell yourself, hey, I'm as good as anybody else. And don't let the mirror look at you and have a vision that you look like Superman, but you're not white, so you think that you're inferior. So you can say, hey, I can look in the mirror, and even though I see the image of Superman that might look white because I watch the TV all the time, I'm going to say, Superman, you look like me, and change the whole mental picture of Superman and make him black like you or Chinese like you or Mexican like you or whatever. You understand? Use your mind to flip the script. All right? Use your mind to flip the script. You have to change the script for Hollywood and make people start understanding it's not a white world. It's a world of truth. It's a world of truth. It's a world of fairness. It's a world that we have to create. If it does not exist, we got to create it. And that's your job. You got to do that. Now, we may not be with you all the time, but you got to realize that you got to do your job, and you got time to do your job. And if you don't do your job, somebody's going to move in and do your job for you, and you might have to face another generation of young people who might try to rob you. How about that? If you don't do your job, you might have a group of young people that come to your house or your neighborhood or your store and rob you, take your car, take your wife, take your kids, if you don't do your job to make sure they have what is a normal life, right? We got to help make a normal life. What does that mean? What does that normal life mean? Okay, say in America, we want to have a nice place to live. We want to have a nice neighborhood that we can walk in and not get robbed. We don't have friends that, you know, that fellowship together, and we might go to different churches, mosque or synagogue, but we still love each other as human beings. So this is the utopia of what is life, and we call that heaven. So you have to make your own heaven on earth in your thinking. So if you can think like heaven is on earth and start to visualize it, you will give it birth yourself. And that brings another thought. So the modern day achievers, we have a new language we kind of talk, right? We talk a language of different things. Like, for example, we don't say as a group, hello, you know, hello, 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 hello. We don't say that. We say heaven up. because hello is the devil's language, in my opinion. And we got an opinion. We can make an opinion because people say, oh, the hello has been around for a long time. Yeah, so has hell. And if you keep saying it, you're going to be in hell. So we say heaven up. That's what we say as a greeting. And then our departure, we don't say bye because bye is too permanent. And so long is not good enough. So we say forward to the future. So the greeting is heaven up, and then the departure is forward to the future. Now, if you understand the dynamic, you're actually doing two things. You're making a greeting where you are engaging people to feel very open, to want to sit down and be family and talk and work together. And on departure, we say, like, forward to the future. And, wow, that's like we ride a bicycle and we can go faster and faster, forward to the future, forward to the future. Yeah, you remember that movie Howard Hughes? When he was at the end, he started saying, forward to the future, forward to the future, forward to the future. And he kept saying so much, they said, that guy is crazy. But he wasn't crazy. He was just, he realized the future is important. And I hope you realize the future is important, too. Because if you don't think the future is important, that means you are either living in the past or you kind of like not living at all. You might be like ready for what is called the Guantanamo Bay, right? Now, I know that Guantanamo Bay, you say, well, that was in Cuba. That's where they held the prisoners at. Yeah. But see, you could be a prisoner in Guantanamo Bay at your own house, prisoner in your mind. So you have to figure out how to get the prisoner out of your mind by doing the right thing and praying and doing the right thing by listening to your parents and doing the right thing by going to school and doing your homework and all those things. And most importantly, don't be judging people. Be kind. Be nice. Don't talk about people. They know that they're losers sometimes, right? So if you see a loser, you know, you can invite them to become a modern-day achiever, and they can probably change their disposition and not be a loser no more. And that's fine. That's what we should do. We should encourage them to join the modern-day achievers. And so if they don't join, that's okay. We say, we understand, but we'll keep recruiting you. But eventually, one time, it's going to come to the point that you're never going to listen, so we got to leave you. So when we leave you, it's like it's too late now. We're gone. The spaceship is gone. The Starship Enterprise is gone. Luke Skywalker is gone. Yoda is gone. And the Force be with you. I hope you can catch up. You know that's impossible at that point, you know. So what I'm saying is that success is all about timing. It's all about timing. And if you don't time your preparation and you time your pursuit of making the right decisions and using your persistence, as God's key to the universe. See, because persistence will make anything change. All right, like this. Let me give you another example. Okay, say this. Say you have a rock, like a stone, or maybe like a medium sized rock, and there's a waterfall that's dripping water from the waterfall onto this rock. Now you say water will not crack a rock. That's not true. A water, drop, period of time, drop. That drop, becomes a piercing, sledgehammer, and eventually the rock will crack. Eventually. It's just a fact, right? So persistence has a strong key to any door that you want to open. If you be persistent, I guarantee you'll be successful. It just may take time. But here it goes. Now, Howling the Dream, I came with this one called Pearls of Wisdom. And Pearls of Wisdom, it stands for POW, but it's not like POW in prison or prisoners of war. It's actually dealing with power of words. So Pearls of Wisdom is power of words. And these power of words, I just wrote seven of them, but I have about several. I have over 50 of these pearls of wisdom. But I'm just going to share with you seven tonight. One is that you have to know true success. You must experience real uncertainty to see where you are on the 314 ladder. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the 314 is. Some of you smart guys, smart young ladies out there, if you know 3.14, I'm going to say that again. If you know 3.14, you might understand what I'm talking about. If you don't know that yet, you better do your math. And I won't tell you. It's well, I might tell you. Yeah, let me just tell you. It's called pi r squared. And that is the perfect measurement of the radius of the pyramid that goes in a circle as you make the pi r squared around the square. It actually creates a perfect circle around the pyramid. So that is like what I want to say is that this is something you got to understand how to use your math mind to create your reality that you want. Because all you got to do is that's like use your mind, use your imagination, and then pretty soon you be building your own nation or country, whatever you want to do. Be a president of America, be a scientist like Dr. Carver, be whatever you want. Use your imagination and use your persistence, and pretty soon I guarantee you'll be graduating from school, you'll be graduating to college, you'll be graduating to a career pathway, and you'll be graduating to being a leader in America or wherever in the world you want to live, okay? So here goes. So number one lesson I share with you. Number two lesson is your success and your failures should create rumors, mystic or mystery, as you eliminate misery. So let me say that again. Your success and your failures should create rumors of people saying, "Wow, I'm hearing this guy making some success. I'm hearing this your sister making some success. What are they doing?" So that's like mystic. They say, "Wow, this is crazy. How did he come from poverty to success?" And then they say, "Wow, that's a mystery. I don't know, but let me ask him. Let me ask her." And then as you start to share with the knowledge, you say, "Now I can help you eliminate misery in your life." You understand that one? So your success and failures should and it will create rumors, mystic rumors and mystery rumors, as you eliminate the misery from people's lives. That's what your job is. Now, the third one is know thyself and be true to you first and foremost. So know thyself is a very, very ancient word that was over the pyramids in Africa as you came into the country there by the Nile River, I believe, somewhere in that area. So you come into the country, and they have these gates, pearly white gates, but it looks like the rocks gates with the pyramids like that or rocks or whatever they use to make these gates. But it says in the gate, it says, know thyself. That's the most empowering thing you could ever want to do. That's the most empowering thing you ever could do is to know who you are. Know yourself. Don't let everybody else know you first. You know you first. You know what you like to eat. You don't like pork? I don't like to eat pork. I don't like drinking alcohol? I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke cigarettes? I don't kill myself with cigarettes. So you got to know yourself, what you like. You got to know people that you want to be around. They call losers, L-O-O-S-E-O, L-O-S-E-R-S, right? You want to avoid losers at all costs, right? Unless it's me, okay? If it's me, give me a chance, please. But if not, if it's just like, you might want to just tell them get in line, all right? Okay, so number four. He says this. He says, true friends see your success as theirs, and they won't hate you for achieving the impossible dreams. Ooh, that sounds so good. True friends see your success as theirs, and they won't hate you for achieving the impossible dream. Wow. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to win when life gets so weary. All right? So just do the impossible. You can do it. Why not? Somebody else has done it. What one person can do, one man and woman can do, you can do it too. Don't let somebody think, well, John Glenn went to the moon and walked on the moon. You can do it too. Michael Jackson walked on the moon too, but he called it moonwalking. That's a joke. You know, he didn't walk on the moon, but he was moonwalking, right? And people started doing a moonwalk. They thought they was on the moon, but Michael Jackson was the best dancer in the world. Okay, here we go. That's another sideline. So number five, it says this. It says live responsibility. No, yeah, life responsibility counts dollars and cents in the end. So life responsibility counts dollars and cents in the end. For example, I had a situation, and I won't go names. I won't say names. I'll give circumstance. And I needed access to a blog, radio. One gentleman and his beautiful wife extended to me an opportunity to be able to have a blog talk, and I didn't have no money, but they somehow felt that I was important enough to, like, take a risk on. And so that's what happens sometimes when you kind of, like, show you have some life responsibilities. People don't mind, you know, doing something for you unless you're not going to sit on your butt and just kind of beg, right? You got to get up and work if you're going to do something. When you work, people say, hey, I respect that. But if you're sitting down lazy, they say, cat, get out of here, man. You know, no. You can't just sit lazy here. No way. You got to go over there and sit on the other side of the bridge or underneath the water somewhere, but you won't sit here and be lazy, because life is not for lazy people. It's for winners. Everybody has to work. Oh, it brings me to something I got to share with you. My grandfather used to tell me this one. You might remember this one. It says something about, it says that the grasshopper and the ant. Now, remember this one. My grandfather used to tell me, don't be like a grasshopper, be like the said the ant, all right? All right. Anyway, okay, so the ant, as my grandfather say, they would work all summer long. And the grasshopper, all he would do is sit down on his butt and just kind of eat up other people's food and beg and borrow and steal. And at the end of summer, when it came time for winter, the ants had their house full of food downstairs underneath the ground, and the grasshopper is sitting on the fence, froze to death. He's an ice stick. So don't be like a grasshopper, right? Be like the ant. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me talk properly. Ant, ant, okay? And then here's the number six. Embrace your joys and your sadness as a life lesson blessing your success. So here goes again. Embrace your joys, embrace your sadness as a life lesson blessing your success. No one's going to be happy all the time. You might be on some kind of drugs, happy drugs. They put people on happy drugs sometimes. They just smile like it's like, oh, what's wrong with you, man? I'm on some heavy drug, man. This has to be smiling. No, listen. You got all the endorphins in your brain, and you can get happy anytime you want to just by changing your thought process, okay? But you don't want to be happy all the time, because then they really think you're crazy, because you look like you're a fruit loop, all right? So you got to just kind of be balanced in whatever you do. So, okay, here we go. The number seven is you want to see the light of your new self. You want to see, S-E-E, the light of your new self as a ray of hope for those watching you. So everybody's watching you, and so they're watching you to see what you do with your life. And if you don't do something with it over, say, a lifetime, then they know you're definitely a loser. Now, when you're young coming up, they don't really know your potential, but they can see the attributes, whether or not you think like a winner or think like a loser. They can see that one quite easily. Like, you can see a person, like, when they're hungry, you can look at a person's eyes and see they're hungry. You can look at a person's eyes and see they love you. You can look at a person's eyes and see they hate you. So what happened? You have to have a hunger for life that, hey, I'm going to make it no matter what, no matter what. If you don't believe it, what's going to happen? You're not going to succeed. You're going to be sitting on the sideline watching me drive my Lamborghini on by you. And I'm going to drive and blow the horn and say, beep, 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 beep. And I'm going to be accelerating like the road runner, okay? So you can get your own Lamborghini, okay? But you got to do something, and you got to plan your success. And listen, and don't get in the habit of taking too much charity from people, because some people use charity to get you into their graces, where they can rob you on the other side of your life. They'll give charity to you, but then they say, oh, didn't you know that money I gave you, it had a contract condition to it that when you make all your money, that you're going to pay me back, and I want half your money. And they're not even married to you, like your wife or your husband would be married to you. and there's a, you know, they give you half the money like that or whatever. But people, they use giving charity to you to steal your future earnings. For example, you found during the slave times, they used to feed our people some food. And they'll say they feed this one some food over here, and they feed that one some food over there. And then they come and say, okay, would you tell me something about that person over there? What are they saying about us? Are they going to come and try to hurt us like Matt Turner did? Or are they going to go over here and do something to try to burn us out, to laugh at us when our house is burning, and they're going to try to blow some breath on the fire to help it go as opposed to putting some water on it? So be careful. People use food as a weapon, as an enticement to fool you, to make you like a puppet for them. So be careful of people's charity. Don't take everybody's charity, because somebody's charity might be a hidden condition of an unwritten contract. Just the fact that you got my food, you ate it. Now I want all your money. That don't make sense, but it happens. Trust me. So listen to me. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time here, and I've just been kind of introducing. I have to do some things, and so we'll be having this conversation again on Wednesday. But the conversation on Wednesday will be a little different topic, and we'll be discussing a specific from books that I will decide to read some and have some discussion. And you certainly will be able to call in. And you are certainly one who I believe in more than I believe in myself. Now, I'm going to leave you with this song I wrote, and I can't sing that well, but I'm gonna attempt to sing it just a little bit, but not like really, really good, because if I sing really good, you might think I'm an entertainer. I'm not an entertainer, though, but I like to be. Can you sign me up? Are you an agent? Can you make me a star? Okay, that's fine. Maybe next year, but let's go with the song. The song is this. It says, I tried to be a star, but I didn't get very far. I pretended to be a saint, but my friends told me, man, you ain't. After years of struggle and taking double, I finally came to realize I needed something more. I prayed. The Creator opened up the door. The first thing He did was make me strong. And now I know that I belong on earth, so I can give a little more. That's why He opened up the door. His peace on us if we believe that all together we can achieve. He made the earth. He made the sun. He made us all to grow as one. We got to say, our children, so take the time to train your mind to see the signs. Don't ignore them. God is one. That's it. Listen, guys, this has been a great experience for me, and I hope that you enjoyed this this monologue here of a new show we have here at the Reality, sponsored by Reality Publication, Reality Books, the publisher of the classic book that's Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, written by his great grandson. And certainly, I would say some online that book is available. And also, he has a radio blog that comes on Saturdays. But I'll talk to you again Wednesday, and I'll make sure I give that information then. So stay on the case and stay in the race. Remember, it doesn't go to the swift of feet, but those who are consistent, and we call that word persistent. Talk to you soon. Next time. God bless you.